Welcome to the Memoirs of Her podcast. I'm the host, Ms. Mendes, and tonight's episode will be about how to maintain good credit. Establishing good credit is similar to developing good character. Good character is the amount of humility you have as a person and is determined by your beliefs, values, and morals. However, your credit is accumulated by an overall average score between 300 and 850. Your credit score is based on your ability to pay back your financial obligations due to a credit card or loan you've applied for. Your credit score determines your credibility to pay back what you owe and maintain a good standing credit score. In addition, your personal credit score will help you to have more financial purchasing power. In most cases, the higher your credit score, the higher the likelihood of you being able to acquire certain things. A good credit score will help you to get approved for a car, mortgage, loan, or credit card utilization. To maintain good credit, you have to consistently pay back what you owe and pay it on time according to the monthly due date. Establishing credit opens the door to many opportunities for you to financially plan for the future. You have to be financially responsible and understand various ways on how to build up your credit and maintain a good credit score. When you determine your plan and the amount of money you're willing to borrow or use, you must calculate your ability to also pay it back. Lastly, in suggestion, having 1 to 3 main credit cards is the max you should have with the credit limit you can afford to pay back. You should only spend 30% of your credit card limit and don't max out unless you have to. When you build up a payment history, your credit limit may increase and your credit score will increase. Join me tonight at 9 p.m. on the Memoirs of Her podcast and listen to tonight's show on how to maintain a good credit score more in depth. So the first thing I would like to speak about is how to establish credit. What is a credit score and what is a credit card? There is a difference. A credit card is something that you utilize for purchases, but your credit score is something that determines whether you can increase your purchasing power or not. A credit score is a prime indication of how likely you are to pay back your loans and other consumer debts on time. The credit score ranges from 300, the least, to 850, being the most. Your credit score is usually reported to the 3 main credit agencies such as Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. A credit card is a consumer debt, whereas you can make purchases using borrowed money. Usually, you will have to pay back what you owe either in full before the next month or make minimum payments on a monthly basis until it's paid off. Now, what to look for when selecting a credit card? When you are applying for a credit card, the main things you should look out for are the following. Is the initial phase when applying. So usually in the initial phase, they will have something where they send you a letter in the mail stating how much you they're willing to offer you, and sometimes they'll give you a breakdown of the annual fee. The annual fee is something that you have to pay on a yearly basis according to the time of use of the card. The APR, which is the annual percentage rate that you would be charged if in the event you have to have interest accumulated. Your credit limit of how much they are willing to offer you. So let's say, for example, your credit limit is $1,000. That credit card would say, hey, you are pre-approved for $1,000 for a specific credit card with a certain company. And then it also gives you a breakdown of the interest charges that you will be charged, the late fees. Also, let's say if you do use the credit card and you purchase something such as like gas or something in particular, what happens is that you'll get your first statement stating when your minimum payments are due or what you have to pay until the balance that you use is paid up in full. So usually on that statement, it will have a payment due date as well. But this is when you start to utilize the credit card. And this is something to know in the initial phases. So usually you are presented with the annual fee, the APR, which is the annual percentage rate, the credit limit, the interest charges, the late fees, the minimum payments that you have to use once you utilize the card and you start making purchases, and then it also have the payment date. The second initial phase is the ownership. Okay, when you are utilizing the credit card and you're purchasing and paying back what you owe, this is considered you have a sense of ownership over that credit card. So usually you will have like an account number with the company. You'll have your credit card number, which will be on the card. And usually on a credit card, it has the expiration date. It has your first and last name, and then it has a CVV code, which is the card verification value, or some people call it the security code, as I mentioned. And then it also has the month and the year of the expiration date of the card. So this is something that you have to also be aware of, that it has your name, first and last name, and then it has the credit card terms that you have to read, which most people don't take the time out in reading. But if you read the fine print, it will let you know all of the things that you need to be aware of when you have that credit card. And then it also talks about balance transfer, which I will mention what balance transfer is all about later in the show. But it's usually when you have like more than one credit card in particular, what happens is that, let's say if you just, your credit limit is $1,000 and you spent about $200, and what happens is that or let's say in most cases that you maxed out a card in particular and you still have another credit card, and let's say you have $2,000 on that next credit card and you already maxed out one of your credit cards. So what happens is that you can do a balance transfer from one card to another. So for example, if the second card is $2,000 and you pay off the other credit card in full with $1,000, what happens is that puts you in the clear for the first credit card, but then you have to pay back the second credit card, which most people do. But that's what a balance transfer is all about. So even going back to my example of just having $1,000 and you spent about $200 on that credit card, and what you wanted to do is take from another credit card to pay it off, and then, you know, pay that $200 off, and then just focus on one credit card and making payments to that until it's paid in full. That is hypothetically what a balance transfer is all about. Okay, and then moving along to how to establish good credit. Now, this is the meat of the show as far as what I wanted to talk about as far as how to maintain good credit. So you might want to really, really, really pay close attention to what I'm going to be sharing about how to establish good credit and how to maintain it. So please follow me and pay close attention. So how to establish good credit? The way to establish good credit is to first do your research and understand you can establish credit without actually applying for a credit card. Okay, so one of the options is, in establishing good credit is when a parental figure or parent partner adds you to their credit card and issues one in your name. They basically give you authorized usage on that credit card. So based on your parent or partner's ability to pay back the balance will determine you being able to establish credit based off of their credibility and paying back the credit card balance and making the minimum payments on the card and on time. The second option is in establishing good credit is applying for a charge card, which is also known as a secured credit card, whereas you deposit a certain balance on a card, For instance, $500, and you use the money in portions and pay back the balance on the due date. So a charge card will help you to establish credit and increase your credit score and boost your credibility in applying for a credit card. So in most cases, this is good for people who don't have any credit or for people who are recovering from bad credit and they're trying to get back into good grace as far as being able to apply for credit cards and things of that sort. So it's mostly for people who don't have credit, to people who are recovering from bad credit or whatever the case might be. The third option is establishing good credit is to apply for a credit card and learn what your approval balance is and apply spending only 30% or less of what is offered to you on the credit card. So for instance, if you have a credit limit for $6,000, you want to be able to spend 30% of the amount, which is $1,800 of that $6,000. That should be the most you spend using the card and pay it back in full within 1 month if you can. However, if not making the minimum payments with additional payments will help you to pay off the outstanding balance a lot quicker. What happens is when you make a minimum payment, approximately 25% is going towards your interest. So they always say the minimum payment is not enough because, like I said, about 25% is going towards interest. Because when I talked about previously about when you have a card, there are interest charges. So it's interest charges including in addition to your minimum payment. So, for example, if you have to pay, they say, hey, out of the $1,800, you have to only pay at least $40, right? So $15 of that $40 is going towards interest, depending on the interest rate. And then only about $25 is going towards the balance, outstanding balance that you have. So this is why you have to pay very close attention to the credit card interest rate and what you are borrowing, and be responsible with your borrowing and spending habits. Okay, now how to make good credit. The best way to maintain good credit is to have at least 1 to 3 main credit cards, if not one, with a decent borrowing balance you can afford to pay back in full with cash, including sometimes with interest based on monthly minimum payments. In addition to, reduce the amount of inquiries of companies and commercial stores running your line of credit. So you know how sometimes you're out shopping and you're having a good time and then sometimes they ask you, hey, do you want to apply for a credit card? In most cases, you should say no, okay? Because when they run an inquiry on your credit, it can decrease your credit score. So you want to be mindful of what store you are going into. And most likely going into just regular stores and things of that sort, and they want to give you a clothing card or something like that, it's not really worth it. Opposed to if you was to go to something, someplace like Apple, and they offer you a credit card, you know, that's not something, you know, it's a good investment to invest in because it's dealing with electronics and something where you know that will benefit you in the end, long term rather than short term, you know. So yes, those are the difference between the two. Okay, so you must first understand that when you are going to these commercial stores and they running your credit, it decreases your score. So do not close out your credit card is another thing that you have to be mindful of, and always keep it open and be mindful of an annual fee. So let's say, for example, you said, hey, you know, it doesn't hurt for me to get a credit card for, let's say, Target, because every now and then I might need something and I may not have cash on me to make certain purchases. That's okay, right? But at the end of the day, let's say you pay off the credit card or whatever balance that you use from the Target, because it's a convenience for you for when you don't have, you know, cash, and you pay off the balance at the end of the month in full. What happens is that, let's say if you never ever use that card ever again, that's okay. But you gotta also know that there's an annual fee that you will have, and that you, even if you don't find no use in that credit card anymore, what you need to do is not close it out, because that also hurts your credit score. Like, I understand that it's kind of backwards to do, you know, some cases, but at the end of the day, they say not to do it because I guess your ability to hold on to a credit card, it kind of enhances the your credibility when other, you know, lenders look at your credit score and the amount of time you held on to the utilization of credit cards. Okay, so additional useful tips. Okay, like I talked about before, what is a credit card or balance transfer, right? So a balance transfer, once again, is when you use the outstanding balance on one credit card and you transfer the balance to another credit card. And you must first understand the balance transfer fee and the percentage rate usually are between 3 to 5%. So when you are doing these balance transfer, there's a fee that you have to pay. And as I mentioned, it's between 3 and 5%. Okay, so the reason why some people decide to do a balance transfer is to save money on interest fees from the credit card. Okay. All right. So, moving along to what are the three main credit report agencies. These are the agencies where they give lenders a credit score that you have, and they make an estimate or make a decision based off of what these agencies let them know. So once again, as I mentioned in the introduction of the show, these three credit report agencies are Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. You also have to be mindful of that each credit score may vary and be different. So all of your credit scores are not going to be, credit scores are not going to be in sync and be the same. Okay? Maintaining good credit with the credit card. In order to maintain a good credit score using a credit card, you must first consider your goals for using the credit card. And suggestion, spending money frivolously, on menial things and items while using your credit card isn't a wise idea. You have to utilize your credit card with clear intentions, such as determining the best credit card for you. So in addition, if you want to make a big purchase or accumulate rewards from using your credit card, overall, when you pay down your balance in full, it helps to maintain good credit and avoid interest fees. Okay, so you have to give it some time, you have to give it some thought when you are going to make purchases. Okay, so now, for something a little bit extra, I wanted to just go back up to when I mentioned about what's the details of a credit card, and I mentioned about there being an annual fee, an APR, credit limit, interest charges, and then I talked about the credit card number, credit card holder name, expiration date. So in that in particular, I just want to elaborate a little bit more on what it entails. Okay, so first things first, right? An annual fee. Let's pay close attention because we're getting a little bit more in depth. An annual fee is like a yearly membership, a charge assessed on some business and consumer card accounts for keeping an account open. The fee helps to cover the cost of delivering services and benefits. Okay, so that's the annual fee. Now, the annual percentage rate, which is the purchase APR, stands for the annual percentage rate as indicated in your card member agreement. Is the rate of interest charged to your account annually for purchase transactions. It's also referred to as the purchase APR for the 10th time. Your APR helps calculate the interest charges assessed on the outstanding purchase balance on your account. Now, the credit limit. A credit limit or credit access line designates the maximum amount of money the card issuer has agreed to loan to you at any one time. So if your balance exceeds the limit, this is referred to as being over limit. Now, as far as the interest charges refers to one type of finance charge which occur on the account because of revolving balance that is subject to an interest rate. Interest charges are the amount assessed for following you to pay a portion of the balance rather than pay the account in full immediately. So different interest rates may be applied to your account depending on the type of transaction made. Some interest charges may begin to accumulate starting the day the transaction is made. Now, late fee. If you're behind on a payment, you may receive a fee for your bill being late or if you pay less than the minimum payment. Now, your minimum payment. The minimum payments due in the minimum amount that must be paid to keep your account current. Now, if you make only the minimum payment each period, you'll pay more interest and it'll take you longer to pay off your balance. See, these are the perks that we must be aware of. So, payments due date. The payments are due on the date shown on your monthly billing statement and your payment must be received by your credit card company on the date of. Okay, so even though I mentioned this earlier in my broadcast, I'm just getting a little bit more in depth of what it is and give it more context and color to what I was talking about. So that way you can get more of a broader understanding of the credit card utilization and the pros and cons of having a credit card, right? So now I'm going to move along to the description of the card when you do receive the credit card, right? So I talked about you being able to have a credit card number, right? So your credit card number is a 15 or 16 digit number that is usually embossed or printed on the front of your credit card towards the bottom. Though it's becoming increasingly common for credit card issuers to print the card on the back. So it may not always be on the front, it may be on the back of the card for protection and security purposes. The card holder name, right? So the card holder name is also embossed on a printed on either the front or the back of the credit card towards the bottom. Because some merchants will ask for ID when a customer, the name on the card should match the name on the card holder's government issue ID. So this is why and the purpose of having a credit card holder name on the credit card. Okay, so most often it is a complete name, but it may appear as a different initial. And the last name or the first name, it will initial in the last name. Okay, so sometimes it varies on how the name is embossed on the credit card, but usually it's on the front or the back. Now, the expiration date. The expiration date is generally found between the card number and cardholder's name, either on the front of the card or the back. Expiration dates displays the month and the year the credit card expires, but the actual expiration date is usually the final day of the month listed. Now, as I mentioned before, CVV or security code. A CVV stands for a card verification value. It's the three-digit number located on the back of your credit card near the signature box, typically under the magnetic strip. If you have an American Express card, the CVV is a four-digit code located on the front of your card. Now, what they don't mention is that the purpose of this CVV code is when you're making purchases using a credit card, sometimes having a credit card number and expiration date is not enough. So they will ask you for the security card, which is the CVV number to be able to process your purchase along with the zip code of your residential area of where you reside at. Okay, now as far as the credit card terms, you have to understand that certain credit card terminology is crucial for managing your credit card wisely. Some of those terms, like I mentioned before, balance transfers. I talked about billing cycle or something in addition to that, billing cycle, and cash advance. Okay, and then I talked about, this is a little bit more in depth, grace period, the minimum payments, and the rewards. So I'm going to go a little bit more in depth of what that is about, so that way you can have some clarity on what this means, okay? So although I gave a brief description, like I said, I'm going to give it more context and color. And I do apologize for the phone in the background ringing. So I do apologize to my listeners for the background noise. Okay, so the balance transfer. When you move a balance from one card to another, you're doing a balance transfer. Balance transfer credit cards typically offer an intro 0% APR on a balance transfer, which can allow the new cardholder to pay no interest for a set time period, even though the card is carrying a balance month to month. This is often an excellent method of debt consolidation, providing that the cardholder can pay off the debt before the end of the intro period. So, for instance, what this is basically saying is that usually when you do have credit cards and you do a credit card balance transfer, what happens is that there is a zero to percentage rate, meaning you don't have to, you know, pay a interest or something like that on the balance until a certain date, a period time, usually between 12 to 15 months. And usually you just have to pay back the balance on the due date, but there will not be no accumulation of interest. So that's something to also be mindful of as well when you're doing a balance transfer. Okay, now a billing cycle, right? A billing cycle is the length of time between the last and current statement dates. So a typical billing cycle is 30 days. So according to the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure, more commonly called the CARD Act, your due date must be at least 21 days from the end of the billing cycle. So when you know your billing cycle, it's good, because when you paid on the day of, according to your billing cycle, this is what increases your credit card your credit score. Okay, now cash advance. Not all transactions on your credit card are treated equally. For example, you have an option to withdraw cash from your credit card. This type of withdrawal would be considered a cash advance. A cash advance begins accruing interest immediately and has its own terms, APR, and fees. Cash advance also typically come with steep interest rates. Okay, now going to the grace period. The period between the end of a billing cycle and the payment due date is the grace period. So during this time, an issuer doesn't charge you interest if you pay off your balance by the due date. You'll avoid interest charges. Okay, so this is what a grace period is all about. It's different from the APR, annual grace period. It's different from that one as far as the annual percentage rate when utilizing a card. Now, minimum payments. The minimum payments is the lowest amount that you can pay on the balance to keep your account in good standing, as I mentioned before. And paying less than the minimum amount will be reported as missed payment to credit bureaus. So if you don't pay on the day of the due date, sometimes it goes reported that you missed the payment to the credit bureaus that I mentioned before, which was Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. So minimum payments are determined based on your current balance and interest rate. Now, let me mention rewards. Rewards can come in the form of points, miles, or cash back. The number of rewards you earn will depend on the bonus categories for your rewards, credit card, and the reward structure. Generally, the rewards you earn will pool together in your account until you choose to redeem them. Your total reward balance and the level of rewards available for redemption will appear on your statement. Now, the account information. In addition to the identifying information found on the card itself and the general terms associated with your credit card, you should be familiar with your card account information. Okay, you can find your account number on your paper billing statement or when you log into your online account. This information can help you know when to make payments and redeem any rewards you may have accumulated on that credit card. So now going along to credit card fees. You also come across various types of credit card fees. It's best to get acquainted with all of them to avoid unexpected charges. So like I told you about the annual fee that you have, the balance transfer fee that you have the cash advance fee that you have the foreign transaction fee, and then you have the late payment fee. Those are all the fees that you would get, and I'm going to elaborate more in detail of what it entails. Okay, so once again, your annual fee, right? The premium credit cards, and even a few not so much premium ones, often come with the annual fee. An issuer charges customers an annual fee each year for holding the card. So although some cards may waive it for the first year or refund it if you meet certain spending thresholds, if you have a card with an annual fee, you want to make sure the benefits and perks of holding the card outweighs what you're spending on that fee. So like I said before, if you have certain types of rewards for that card, you want to be able to consider that and not just apply for a credit card and it doesn't benefit you, but yet you're just wasting your money on paying an annual fee and you're not getting no benefits really from that card. And you really don't find no use in utilizing it, you know, as far as the balance, because hey, what is it for, right? So at least you have to do your homework and research how you're going to be able to benefit, whether you use the card or not, from the rewards and other perks that you may get from having that card. Now, balance transfer fee. A balance transfer may save you a lot of money on the interest, but the transaction itself isn't free. So when you transfer a balance from one card to another, the issuer would typically charge you a balance transfer fee. And once again, I told you it's usually between 3 to 5%. So the minimum can also vary, but are typically from $5 to $10. Okay, now a cash advance fee. A cash advance is an expensive transaction in more than one ways. Not only do you have to pay a higher interest rate, it starts to accumulate interest immediately, but you're also charged a cash advance fee. So a typical cash advance fee is around 5% or a minimum of $10 per transaction. So you hear that? Per transaction. So the more you keep doing the cash advance, the more $10 is going to be added on to that cash advance balance. Now, foreign transaction fee. Before you go on a trip abroad, right, hypothetically, check whether your card charges a foreign transaction fee. A foreign transaction fee is charged on purchases you make where a currency conversion had to take place. This includes purchases done and placed outside of the U.S., but also includes online retailers based abroad. The fee is usually around 3% per transaction, which means such fees can add up rather fast. Okay, and then lastly, we talked about late payment fees. Missing a payment on your credit card is never good news, especially considering that you'll be charged a late payment fee. So the first time you miss a payment, your issuer may charge a lower payment fee typically up to $25 depending on the card and company. However, subsequent missed payments can cost you much more and add more time to you being able to pay off the credit card in full. Okay, so this is about your purchase beating the time and you making your payments. When you allow the payments to accumulate over time, it's going to take you years to pay it off because it's interest and other fees accumulated on that credit card, which is why you have to be mindful of applying for credit cards. Okay, so you have to also consider your goals for your credit cards. Some credit cards offers more perks than others, but ultimately there isn't one credit card out there that's the best one for everybody. The best credit card for you is the one that most aligns with your goals for how you plan to use your card. Okay, so now that I've mentioned everything as far as your utilization of a card and in detail of what's on a card, now just for bonus information, for people who may have, you know, been through the applying for credit card and having a credit card and utilizing the credit card and things of that sort, and let's say your credit score is not so good because of your mismanagement of having a credit card. Now, how to repair damaged credit is first, I'm going to go through some steps that you can use, and I'm hoping that can be helpful because things happen. You know, financial crisis happens for people where they may have to use the credit card and max it out due to whatever, you know, circumstances that the person is going through at the time of. You know, so the first thing you want to be able to do when you have damaged credit is review your credit reports, including LexisNexis report. Now, LexisNexis report is a little bit different from the credit report agencies. LexisNexis report basically has everything that you've applied for, from car loan to mortgage loan. It has all of that information in LexisNexis report. Okay, but you want to be able to, most importantly, go over your credit reports. Okay, and sometimes a suggestion, you don't have to get all of your credit report agencies at the same time. What you can do is get it on a quarterly basis. For example, you can get the first one in January, and then you might get your next one in May, and then the next one maybe in September. So you can do it on a quarterly basis just to keep track of your credit score and what is going on as far as, you know, with your finance and credit reports. Okay. Now, the second thing that you want to be able to do is pay your bills on time. Always pay your bills on time when you do have a credit card. Okay. Number three is to catch up on past due bills. Number four is to become an authorized user if you can, depending on your situation. Number five is consider a secured credit card. You can also do that as well. Whether somebody don't want to put you on a credit card, but you really determine on redeeming yourself, a secure credit card would be good, where you put a balance down and you be able to build up your credit from there, your credit score, excuse me. Number six is keep some of your credit available. As I told you, when you have a credit card, don't spend the whole balance. Only spend a portion of that, usually in suggestion 30% of whatever the lenders are giving you to borrow. Number seven is only apply to credit cards you need and not want. Number eight is consolidate your debt with a loan. If you know you have multiple credit cards and it's becoming a little bit overwhelmed because you didn't manage your credit cards accordingly, consolidating your debt and getting a loan to pay off those credit cards is good because in the end, it saves you a lot of interest rate fees and just fees, just in general, late fees. Number nine is remain proactive with your progress. And lastly, number 10 is apply to an accredited debt relief program. If, you know, things are just got overwhelming for you and out of control and you're not even above water anymore, but you're underwater, applying for the debt relief program is useful. And then lastly, bankruptcy would be the next to a debt relief program. So it all depends about your financial health, financial literacy, and how you manage your finances. So financial management as well. You have to keep that in mind. Don't just get a credit card and think that is free money, because it's not free money. You have to be able to pay that money back. Okay. So the most cases is best to just have cash and be able to spend that cash, because when you don't have no more cash, you can't spend no more. Simple as that. But for the people who do financial literacy and they utilize the credit card and they understand the algorithm and establishing wealth and using the credit card, then by all means, do it. If you have that financial literacy first and did your research. So with that being said, I thank you all for taking the time out for listening to the Memoirs of Her podcast. And I hope that you was able to get something very useful on tonight. And with that being said, bye-bye.